Come on, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And in His presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1? Simple, refreshing teaching tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Oh, yes. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, if you'd read it with me, please. Is everybody there? Got a yes, got a no, got a wannabe. Got to praise God. In verses 6 through 12, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Now, you got to remember something. He offered 1,000 sacrifices. 1,000 sacrifices. Hallelujah. Talk about flesh all over the place, right? But it was being a burnt offering to God. At that period of time, those were, God used it as a sweet aroma. Now, you know what the sacrifice is today? Your praise. Your lips are now the altar of God. When you don't worship God, you don't offer the sacrifice. Amen? Amen? And those demons love those dry places, don't they? Don't become one. And Solomon said to God, you have... Verse 8. Is everybody there? Is everybody all right? Praise God. Said, ask what you want, right? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over the people like the dust of the earth and the multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Then the Lord God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the light. That's powerful. You got to remember something, though. Here is Solomon, who just made a bunch of burnt offerings to the Lord, right? He was humbling himself. Those burnt offerings were a representation of humbling. The Lord says, humble yourself before the hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. He was humbling himself. He went to the Lord as a child. He said, you know what? You've given me a place and a position and office that I am not able to accomplish. How many people get in the position and office and think they can accomplish it? You know, one of the roughest things that people have is intellect. Just because they're smart, they think they know it. But it's one of the worst stumbling blocks. People can read this word and memorize it, know scripture, and do all kinds of stuff with it and never know God. And still go to hell. Amen? And never know Him and still go to hell. Because the word says the letter kills and the spirit brings life. You know why it kills? Because you know it and can't walk it. Hallelujah. But Solomon didn't ask for riches or anything. He was placed as the king. He asked for wisdom and knowledge from God Himself that he may discern and how to reign over God's people and how to direct them the best way. Not to rule over them as slaves or as ownership, but as in the arena of how can I guide them in the best way. In other words, how can I teach them? How can I be an example to them in the best way? And it honored the Lord because that's what Solomon's heart was crying out. How can I be the best witness and guide them for your glory? And because he asked this question, see, God granted him more. You know what he was asking for? He was actually asking for spiritual wealth. Does anybody understand that? Spiritual wealth. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, spiritual wealth. But he was asking for spiritual wealth, not worldly wealth. Even though he was going to need cash, right? He was going to need money, he was going to need labor, he was going to need all these other things to help rule in this kingdom that God had blessed him with. But he didn't ask for that. He asked for the wisdom and the knowledge from the throne room of God. Not carnal wisdom, not natural wisdom, not natural understanding, but that which comes from the Lord by His Spirit. And God said, since you've asked for this, it pleased me that you are looking for spiritual wealth and not worldly wealth. I'm going to not only give you the spiritual wealth, but I'm going to give you worldly wealth because your heart was towards heaven and not towards earth. Does anybody understand that? Powerful what God did. And of course, Solomon, he started off real good. Hallelujah. But of course, he had that family curse, didn't he? Lust, incest, and all the other stuff. But praise God. So God blessed him with natural wealth also, didn't he? Go to Psalm 49. Spiritual wealth. All we need to have spiritual wealth. You know, one of the things we need to recognize is how much wealth we have. See, if you don't realize what God has given you, you know what? We're always... There's such an arena of more knowledge. More knowledge. And what we really need is more presence. More presence. More presence. Amen? Don't get me wrong, knowledge is important because the Word tells us my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In fact, knowledge is a representation of understanding. You know, truth is knowledge understood, isn't it? See, if you don't understand the truth, then it's really not knowledge. It's carnal knowledge. Does everybody understand that? Let me repeat that again. If you don't understand this knowledge, it doesn't become truth. If you understand the knowledge, it becomes truth and you get set free. Right? Hallelujah. And Psalm 49, in verses 5 through 9, would you read it with me? Why should I... Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. That he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. So he's talking here about people who rely on their wealth. Rely on their wealth. You know, there is also a wealth of knowledge, isn't there? People who rely on their knowledge. Don't get me wrong. Knowledge is to guide us, isn't it? But wisdom is what tells us what to do with the knowledge. And you can only learn that by having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. To Christ and to our Father. Remember, the Holy Spirit has been left here. You can only get that by walking in the Spirit and having a relationship in the Spirit. People go to schools, they go to learn all of this stuff, they go to cemetery schools and seminary schools and every other kind of school there is. And the bottom line is you must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. So people who trust in their wealth will see the pit. Even people who trust in their wealth of knowledge. And we've talked about this before. You know, did you ever try to talk to somebody who knows it all? Yeah, they go, yeah, I know. And you know what? They don't know nothing. Because in true reality, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know nothing. The more you learn about God, the wimpier you get. And God gets bigger and bigger and bigger and overwhelms you. It's like, man, it's overwhelming. But there are just that spirit of intellect. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong about being intellect. The problem is it's carnal intellect. Brings a stumbling block. Those are people who are trusting in their own wealth. It may not be money, right? In fact, the Word says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, but cursed is the man who trusts in man. It brings a stumbling block, doesn't it? And what the devil always tries to do is boast up, puff up, wealth. Wealth. You know, people are still in competition. People come in competition with one another. They try to out spiritually. They try to out intellect. Competition runs rampant. And there's nothing wrong with good, pure competition, is there? But it's when it begins to water pride, it's not godly competition. In fact, the Word tells us that we're to compete in this race, aren't we? But we're to follow the rules in this competition. So understand that everything that you and I are doing, the devil's always going to try and turn the wealth over to where it becomes yours. Whether it's wealth of knowledge, whether it's financial, whatever it is. Now God, listen, God doesn't say, I want you to be poor, does He? He wants you to be poor in spirit, which means humble. Amen? Knowing that you always need Him and you have to rely on Him and you have to trust in Him. In fact, the Word tells us about when Samuel was interceding for Saul, who was king. He talked about it one time, do you remember when you were little? In other words, when you were small, when you first started this walk and you were humble. Everybody think about when you first started this walk. Man, you were willing to do whatever it took. Oh, Lord. Everybody cried out to God one way or another, help, I'll do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Are you still in that place? Compromised at all in that place? Little wealth now, puffed up a little bit. Got some knowledge, yeah. Don't need to go to that place no more? Oh, but you do. Because if you don't, God will bring you there. He'll bring you there. Hallelujah. See, so you've got to allow Him to bring you there. Or you can listen to the Holy Spirit and He says it's time to really humble yourself. It's time to check yourself because your fruits are starting to stink. Now He smells them first before anybody else does. He knows exactly what's what. So does everybody understand about the wealth? You and I want spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is a representation of things that there's only one area where spiritual wealth comes from, and that's from the throne room of God. Where it's pure and holy and true. This spiritual wealth that you and I are looking for and desiring is something that we've been desiring since the moment we were born. God has prepared a table for us in the presence of His enemies, of our enemies. He said, come on. Come on, take from it. Yeah, the anointing that's on your head. Well, let me tell you, as you begin to take this spiritual wealth, the anointing starts to overflow. Your cup runs over. And when this cup runs over, man, let me tell you something. You become so humble in His presence. You realize that it's not about knowledge. You realize that this knowledge has just been bringing you to His throne room. It's been bringing you to the feet of Jesus and bringing you to your knees. Because we can't do anything. We've tried and we failed. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. All to God be the glory. You know, we never want to get so intellect that we don't invite the Holy Spirit for direction. Amen. No matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how many times you've done the same thing over and over, You could have taken that tire off of a car all day long. You could have done the same thing all day long. But let me tell you something. Until you invite the Holy Spirit, then it changes. See, then what happens is we begin to rely on our intellect. We begin to rely on what we're accustomed to. We begin to rely on self. Well, I'm relying on what God gave me. Good, then invite Him. If God gave it to you, then let Him direct you with it. I remember one time I volunteered to take off from rear axles for the sister in Christ. And I was working on this car, and I had a hard time popping off this one axle, and I didn't. I had to change the bearings in it. And I was talking to the Lord the whole time, and I said, okay, well, thanks for your help on this one. And I went to the other side and said, man, I'm having a hard time. He said, you don't need to take it off. I said, but I'm really having a hard time. He said, guy, you don't need to take it off. I said, I don't need to take it off. He said, no. It's okay. I said, well, how about checking it? He said, you don't need to take it off. I said, well, you know, all right. I couldn't get it off anyway, so I had to take his word on it. My flesh was going, man, I wonder if, and when was I here? You know. So anyways, I took that one axle and I called around all the places, and everyone that I called said, you know, you got to have this bearing pressed off and have one pressed on. I'm thinking, now where am I going to have that? And the Holy Spirit said to me, go to this one auto parts store. They have the press there and they have your bearing. I said, okay. I'm thinking, well, my carnal mind is going, Lord, is this you? Well, I'm going to test it out here. So I went to that store. I brought the axle in there, and the bearing was still on her. And I said, Lord, okay, here it is. I'm going to show this guy and see what happens. Now, I've taken these things off before. My intellect would have said, beat that other side off. You got to pull that other axle off. But I invited the Lord. And it was a whole different circumstance now. So I went to this auto parts store, and I went in and I said, hey, man, I said, I really need to get this bearing, and I need to get it off. So he went back there, he says, I have one bearing for this axle, only one. I said, well, where can I get it pressed off? He says, I have the press. Come back in 45 minutes. I said, praise God. Praise God. You know, it's wonderful when you hear God. Yeah, yeah. It's even more wonderful when you obey Him. Yeah, yeah. Amen? Because you begin to earn His trust. You earn His trust. But do you understand, we can get so caught up in our own wealth of knowledge and understanding and certain things that we become accustomed of not inviting Him. And eventually, that's that part of the deception of compromise. I'm going to compromise. You know, the devil always wants to tell you, well, God knows. God knows my heart. God knows. Of course He knows. The whole thing is He wants you to know. He wants you to know about your heart. He wants to be invited in everything. When you call a friend up, don't you invite him? Hey, man, let's go do this or let's go do that. The Holy Spirit wants to be invited in everything. See, now you're getting spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is relationship. That's really spiritual wealth, is relationship. Knowing that you have a friend who will never forsake you. Knowing that you have a God that can stop rainstorms and do everything else. Yeah. Knowing when you're to stop them and when you're to let them ride. Knowing that your Father is the one who supplies everything to you. Knowing that when you don't have something, you're not caught up on what you don't have. You thank Him on what you have. Knowing that He's going to make a way. No matter what. No matter what's going on. No, you're not moved by your circumstances. You're only moved by His Spirit. And those who are led by His Spirit are called sons of God. And that's where we want to stay. That is spiritual wealth. It's a part of it. To know Him. To be led by Him. To know when He visits you in dreams and visions. to know you've been unctioned. The glorious, most glorious thing is to know Him. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, would you read it with me? And the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Well, let me share with you what begins to affect this, where we don't stay hot, we become lukewarm, is because we're relying on our own wealth. Has everybody got it? You begin to rely on your own wealth. And you're not leaning on Him enough now. You're relying on just what you've learned. And the Word says you can learn, they come learning, 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 but never come to the knowledge of the truth. And He is truth. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 17. Because you say I am what?
Rich
or what? Wealthy. Hello? Does everybody see what he's saying now? Does everybody, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, I do not know that you are, and do not know that you are what?
Wretched,
miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, they didn't even know it, did they? They were caught up in their own wealth. What does he say? He says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be what?
Rich.
That you may have the true spiritual wealth, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent." Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful that we all have an opportunity to repent tonight? Praise God. Repent for seeking the wrong wealth. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. Glory to God. In verse 13, would you read it with me? Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Make sure you're there. Verse 13. Then the one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man," see, now you know where he got that word, man. Amen. See, Jesus said it, didn't he? But he said to him, "Man, what made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Hello? Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this, and I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, bonehead, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Does everybody see that? And who is not rich toward God. Oh, to God be the glory. That's a penalty for wrong riches. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And remember, we talked about the three major deceptions that the powers of darkness are flooding in such a subtle way. In such a subtle way. The first one is compromise, the second one is pride, and the third one is what? Greed. Greed. Do you ever notice that all, almost like all three of them are associated and tangled with one another? You know, with spiritual wealth or with wealth, you know, carnal wealth. Turn things over. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Praise God. The love of money. You know, many believe money buys happiness. You know, how many people are so caught up in trying to make money, and the devil has deceived them that they are now, I'm going to make money for the kingdom of God. And they kick, they scream, they do all kinds of stuff with this deception when God has not called them in that position. Does everybody understand that? And that is a ministry in itself, to be a wealthy individual for the kingdom of God. And there are those who are wealthy for the kingdom of God, and they know how to disperse the money. They know exactly what to do. But not everyone is called that. But many people have that delusion that I'm going to do this for the kingdom of God, I'm going to do that for the kingdom of God. But you know what? They never make it, because they're actually chasing money. They're chasing wealth. They're chasing all kinds of things, associating in the worldly entanglements, trying to become wealthy when God has not given them that position or that office. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with wealth, is there? But there's an arena, there's an area, and there's an office in that area where people become wealthy in distribution of God's money in a great way. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have wealth, does it? It doesn't mean that you can't prosper, does it? God desires all of His children to prosper, doesn't He?
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. He won't give you any more than you can handle. The Word tells us that. He will not give you any more than you can handle. That's why there are certain those who have a special anointing for that position to handle God's money in the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking $1 million. I'm talking a lot of money. There are multi-millionaires or billionaires who are associated with the kingdom of God, who are distributing God's money correctly, who have opened up places and foundations that are distributing God's money correctly. And there are those who are millionaires. There's a lot of millionaires. There's a lot of millionaires in the body of Christ. Some of them were millionaires before the body of Christ. They're not millionaires anymore. Hallelujah. What does God do? Well, He allows them to get humble. Usually they end up losing all their money so that God can build them according to the way and prepare them how to distribute the money. You hear many testimonies of many rock stars and so forth, people in the music industry who had millions of dollars and millions of dollars, their own jets and everything, lost everything. They lost everything. And God brought them on the potter's wheel, gave them a couple of Holy Ghost slaps, a little molding here and there, and trained them up according to His way so that money would never be their God again. Money would never, in other words, you're not going to be moved by money ever again. You get moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's it. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
And God has entrusted them. And you know what? Remember, freedom is learned and trust is what?
Earned.
If you're faithful with a little, you get what?
More.
But if you're not faithful with a little, you're not going to get more. Now, God will never forsake you, will He? The Bible doesn't say that you're going to go off to beg bread. But, of course, He says, no worky, no eaty. Amen? So you and I are to labor with our hands, aren't we? We are to labor unto God. You know, people get all upset about working. Man, I just don't want to do this. You know why? They're laboring for themselves and not God. If your focus is on laboring unto the Lord, man, everything's a breeze. Praise God. You're not complaining. You're just laboring. You know God has God in control. And you know what you're doing? You're earning His trust. You're earning His trust. Why? You're keeping your heart focused on Him. You know what you're getting? You're getting wealth. You're getting wealth. You know, there are many really poor people. There are people who are still caught up in the spirit of poverty. They have that poverty intellect. And it's an ancestral curse that's been brought down they can't get broke from. Of course, because they don't know about getting broke from it. But you know what? They're rich in Christ. And they're content with it. They're content. Well, I'm not content. I want more riches from my Father. Amen? I want more of Him. I want so much wealth in every one of these chambers that it overflows and busts. That we can give it. And we can give it, and that we can give it. The greatest wealth that you and I have is truth. You know, so many times we don't even realize that we neglect it. We're so busy, caught up, trying to... We don't realize. Just think how much truth you have right now. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have right now. And look at how many people don't even know, and they've been going to church for 30 years, and they still don't know. They're still holding on to the rugged cross. And they haven't grabbed hold of Jesus yet. They haven't grabbed hold of the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, there's a difference. That's spiritual wealth. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Oh, praise be to God. John chapter 2. That's where you get in the attitude of gratefulness. That's where you get in the attitude of joy. Man, you don't look at what you don't have. You thank God of what you have and the spiritual wealth that you've got already. That's the devil that brings you into that area. I was counseling with a gentleman today. This guy has been through a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff. Oppression, ancestral curses. I mean, his family's got all kinds of stuff coming down the line. And it was just, my heart just sunk because he's been in and out of church for so many years. You know, and he didn't know the truth. You know, he'd always believed in the Lord and so forth, but he doesn't know how to fight. He doesn't even realize about ancestral curses. They got him medicated and all kinds of stuff with all kinds of carnal labels. And today, for the first time, he's never read a deliverance prayer, never read a daily confession. And when he read them, it was powerful because he said to me, he said, I felt a tugging in me. Like something was tugging and pulling on me. And he said, and then something left. He says, I feel clearer and so forth. And he was so happy. He was so joyful. You know what he just got? He got a touch of spiritual wealth.
Amen.
A touch of spiritual wealth. He got a touch from God. He got a touch from the Holy Ghost. They didn't have to lay hands on him and cast out a demon or anything. He said, here, read this deliverance prayer.
Amen.
Here, start with this. All right? The Lord didn't want me to frighten him. Praise God. You know, so that was just a beginning, though. It was a beginning. And it's so important, these deliverance prayers. So important. Well, I don't feel anything. It doesn't matter about how you feel. Believe me, God is working on your behalf. Your confession brings your possession. Ooh, hallelujah. But what a blessing. What a blessing. I love to see people get freed. I love it. Especially when you don't have anything to do with it. Praise God, and the devil can't attack you. Oh, you did this. Hand somebody a sheet of paper and give God the glory. Hallelujah. That's what we do when everyone comes in here. Here's the sheet of paper. To God be the glory. Do it. Just do it. See, but the intellect, that carnal intellect, the I know it spirit, I've done this before spirit, that spirit of compromise and deception will prevent people from getting freed up. John chapter 2 and verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep, doves, and the money changers doing business. Oh, hallelujah. When he had made a whip of the cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Are you a temple? Hello? Oh, hallelujah. I love when people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've been backslidden or whatever, this and that, and they say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to... Let me tell you something. When you say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, he comes in with the Holy Ghost whip and starts turning over tables in you and starts exposing those money changers. You know how many times people run because they get exposed? Oh. Gucci, Gucci, goo. Hallelujah. He turned over the tables and he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of what? Merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Glory to God. Now let me share something with you. When you start swaying, compromising, or whatever, the Lord comes back in. He starts kicking over those tables. If you don't acknowledge those tables that have been kicked over, he'll expose you. You'll either accept the exposure privately or you'll be exposed openly. Amen? Now, it's not to, well, it is to humiliate you. Because humiliation brings humble. Right? I remember being in the drug world and dealing all kinds of dope and whatever, and I'd go and drop off dope here and there, and I'd see these people hooked on crack. And I said, man, I'll never get that way. I always had a load of money and a load of dope. I'll never get that way. I remember in that position thinking, I said I'd never get this way. Lost my family, lost everything. God humbled me. Didn't take long. Bam. Was done and over with, lost everything. In fact, this house that you're in was lost. Hallelujah. When I got found, this house got found. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He humbled me, so the only way I could do is look up. Will you never lose sight of that? Never lose sight that your only way out is up. Only Him. Only Him. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 13. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13. And verse 11. It says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Praise God. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been approached by quick scheme things. Yeah, hey man, hey, this is great. It's God gave us this. It's great. It's a quick make money gig. Just buy this. I've had people come against me because I wouldn't get involved with them. There is no quick scheme. Hello?
Amen.
There's no quick scheme. Glory to God. Go to Matthew 13. So many times I think it's a ploy of the devil. Somebody might hit one and everybody follows it. One hits something that's a quick scheme, right? And all the other 400 lose it. The quick, rich scheme. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Hallelujah. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's spiritual wealth, man. He goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Philippians 3. I'm not running out of this tape. Praise God. Philippians 3. So if you find that we're going a little faster, pray in the Spirit and catch up. If you really miss it, get the tape. Praise God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
And verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Hallelujah. You know, so many times we've got to get to a place where even in no matter what's going on, that we've got to let things go. You've got to let things go. So you've been relying on this, you've been relying on that. And the problem is that we've been relying on so many things that we've come to a point, and in fact, Saul, who became Paul, who wrote this, had a powerful example of all the knowledge, all the wealth that he had. He was a wealthy man, came from a wealthy family, thought he was doing the right things for God, but he never could hear what the Spirit was saying. He did not have a relationship until God finally slammed him, kicked him off his horse, opened his ears and eyes and heart to receive what the Spirit was saying to him, and he realized, he said, man, if I would have known this before, man, I count all this stuff garbage. I counted all dung. I let it all go, and I'm continuing to go forward for what the wealth of Christ I have now. The wealth. You know, one day I was going to go see my nephew who I hadn't seen in a while because, you know, when you're an outcast of the family and so forth, you know, when you're the polka-dotted sheep of the family. Anyways, my nephew, who I used to take biking and pick him up on my Harley every, you know, on Sundays and so forth. You know, when there was trouble in the family and I was way out there and my wife left and everything, well, I hadn't seen my nephew in a long time. So one day, the Lord was having me go pick him up for breakfast. And I said, you know, Lord, what do I tell him? And all of a sudden I had this vision of this beautiful emerald. This beautiful emerald. I mean, it was huge, and the Lord put it in my hand. He says, I want you to bring this precious jewel to him. And he said, tell him that you had to go through many things so that you could dig for this jewel. You've been on a treasure hunt, and you found this jewel. And I want you to bring this jewel to him, this precious, beautiful emerald. And it was sparkling, and I was driving this car and this truck, and I mean, it was like glowing in my car, and I was holding this emerald, and I'm going, whoa, and I was weeping and crying. And he said, and what you're bringing to him is me, this precious, precious jewel, this emerald. And I was like, whoa. And it blew my mind away because, see, we didn't even realize it, but even when we were in darkness, we were digging. We were looking for the truth the whole time. See, it's that religious spirit that prevents people from digging. They get content. They become formulated. And they think that they're doing good, but see, in true reality, they're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of life. And there's a difference. Because only life can bring life. Good and evil can't bring life. So that's why many people think out there, well, I'm a good person. Good people don't go home. A lot of good people in hell. You must eat from the tree of life to make it home.
Amen.
But when the Lord gave me this, it just blew my mind because, see, you and I have been digging and don't even realize it. And when you stop digging, you get in trouble. You can never stop digging because there's more. There's so much more. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Where are we? We're done, right? Yeah, cool, we're done. Right again. Okay. Go to Matthew 19. Actually, you know what? I'm going to skip that. Now let's go to Matthew 19. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? Matthew 19 and verse 18. Glory to God. Matthew 19 and verse 18, and Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness on your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Well, it blew that guy's socks right off. Because he had so much carnal wealth, it was hard for him to give it up. Amen? But the one thing he says is, follow me. So that means you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Go to Isaiah 55. Now that's just not one day event. That's every day. You must sell everything you've picked up that's not of God. Hello? And the things that are of God, you must give back to Him and follow. Isaiah 55. Oh, praise God. Spiritual wealth. Verses 1 through 3. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come on, read it with me. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, or your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. So are we the offsprings of that? Amen. We are from that lineage now. You are now of the tribe of Judah. Glory to God. And the word Judah means praise. It means praise. Go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Oh, to God be the glory. Proverbs 23. Is everybody there? In verse 22 and 23? Proverbs 23. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. What does it say? Buy the truth and do not sell it. All wisdom and instruction and understanding. In other words, yours to buy it. That's spiritual wealth. Buy that truth and don't sell it. Praise be to God. Buy it. Go to Ephesians 3. Oh, it's good to hear the pages flying on a Tuesday night. The faster you turn the pages, the cooler you can get. Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, we want spiritual wealth. Verse 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the what? Riches of his glory. That's spiritual wealth, man. The riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is spiritual wealth, man. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're building a breeze in here now. Second Peter chapter 3. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without what? Spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but what? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory in both now and forever. Amen. Let me share something about spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is growth. It is also a representation of growth. Many are always learning, 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 but never come to the truth. Spiritual wealth is a part of growing. You grow. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory. And verse 18. Everybody read this with me, will you? Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Hallelujah. So there is suffering, isn't there? Praise God. It's glory in His suffering. As Christ suffered, so will you and I. One of the sufferings is the difficultiness of denying self on a daily basis. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Praise God, we're getting a new body. You know, just to know that is spiritual wealth. You know that? Just to know that, just to have that hope, is spiritual wealth. You know, you go out and try and talk to someone who's hurting, sick in body or whatever, in the natural realm. And then you tell them, praise God. Don't worry about it, man. You're getting a new body. Today? Maybe. If you're right with God. There's a possibility, but then there's a possibility you might not. But I'll tell you how. Glory to God. Go to First Chronicles chapter 29. Spiritual wealth. Oh, Daddy, we want to be wealthy with you. First Chronicles chapter 29. Spiritual wealth. See, the thing is you're spiritually wealthy and don't even know it sometimes. So when things aren't happening your way, I'm spiritually wealthy, I don't care. Praise God. God's got a plan. Some people get aggravated when I say that. Man, you don't know all the stuff that's going around. Yeah, God's got a plan, man. Praise God. Yeah, but. Oh, don't give me but. God's got a plan. In verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. Say that again. Both riches and honor come from you. For you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and without hope. Hallelujah. So riches and honor come from who? The Father. Go to Proverbs 22. In verse 2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. By humility, come on, read this with me. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So we see two major keys are humility and fear of the Lord. In other words, humbleness and reverence to God. Everything is in humbleness and reverence to God. Our riches and honor and life. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. And verse 12. Okay. Yeah. Would you read it with me, please? Oh, to God be the glory. thank you. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. That's spiritually well. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on what?
Love,
which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and to be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you what?
Richly.
In all what?
Wisdom.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Oh, hallelujah. Let the word dwell in you richly, wealthy. Go to Romans 9. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Romans chapter 9. Is everybody dead yet?
No.
It's a good night to die. And verse 21. Would you read it with me? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another one for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had prepared beforehand for glory? Even us whom He called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Praise be to God. Vessels of honor. What? Of His riches and glory. That's spiritual wealth. Again, I can't emphasize enough that knowing Him is the greatest spiritual wealth there is. Knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him. God is not looking at what you can do for Him. He's looking for you. First you. Does everybody understand that? So many times we want to do for God. Believe me, I went through it myself. I wanted to do for God, man. I wanted to do something for Him. He did so much for me. But He held my reins and kept me in. He said, it's not time yet. It's not time. I couldn't understand it. I had all this spiritual wealth. I couldn't understand why He wouldn't release me. Man, I was a horse in the waiting gate. I tried every way to kick out. He wouldn't let me. Finally, one day, I was in prayer, and He said, it's time to take your prayer closet with you. And you know what? I didn't want to go. That's when it's time to go. That's a part of spiritual wealth. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody all right? Glory. Where are we at? Did we do Romans yet? Did we read it? Did you get it? Good, we can go on. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah. That's when I didn't want to get married, is when God said, get married. Don't let that be a stumbling block now. You got to make sure He's telling you to get married, even if you don't want to get married. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Remember, it goes God, family, and ministry. Amen? God, family, ministry. First, get your house in order. Got to be a solid foundation of home. Because then we get so caught up trying to rescue our children and everything else and this and that and whatever, that we really can't serve God the way God wants us to. You know, you think about Paul. Man, you know how long it took Paul to go out and minister? 14 years. He gave a little testimony here and there and shared some stuff. But God was dealing with Paul, wasn't he? 14 or 15 years, I forget what it was. But God, you know what God was doing? He was molding him into his hand. He was molding him into his mouth. He was molding into his heart. You know what he was doing? Imparting spiritual wealth. Imparting spiritual wealth. Let me share something with you. In these last days, now don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. Salvation is not enough. Salvation is not enough. Not in these last days, man. You need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to have the revelation of relationship. Oh, salvation is great, isn't it? Amen? But many of us have been through salvation more than once. Salvation is not enough. Jesus wants us to have more. He didn't come to just give salvation a book. He came to, he said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. He wants the kingdom of God to be manifested in us. Remember, he put the Jews, the Hebrews, in the wilderness to get Egypt out of them. Every day you must come to that place where everything from yesterday or whatever must go. See, you got to learn how to eat the meat and throw the bone. You have to realize that what you just picked up from a little while ago must go. You have to have the discernment about righteous seeds and corruptible seeds. It's not just about, okay, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior 30 years ago and I'm not doing anything. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane idle babblings, the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Whoa, whoa. Which is falsely called knowledge. Carnal wealth. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the what? Faith. Grace be with you. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 13. Everybody all right? A couple more scriptures. Can you hang on there? You got any more ink? If you don't, borrow some. Matthew 13. We got tape left. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thought about going to a 120-minute tape, but better than that. Praise God. You can see the guys during the day. Man, this tape never ends. Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Do you realize that it's been given to me and you to know the mysteries? These spiritual wealth, spiritual, this beautiful treasure. Oh. For whoever has, to him more will be given. In other words, whoever can comprehend and understand and use it correctly, to him more will be given. and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's spiritual wealth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, there are things that prevent us from growing. And one of the things that is prevents us from growing is rebellion. Rebellion will cause you to lose that spiritual wealth, that hardened heart. What the devil wants to do is offend you so that rebellion can be manifested. Amen? Rebellion will steal it. Rebellion will put you right in the pit, the stinky swamp. Rebellion. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? For love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Let me tell you something. That's another spiritual wealth, is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. First John chapter 2. Glory. In verse 26. First John chapter 2 and verse 26. Glory, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will what? Abide in Him. So the purpose of the anointing, which is another spiritual wealth, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is to draw us so that we abide in Christ, the true wealth. Amen? The true wealth. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Glory. One more scripture. After this, of course. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Spiritual wealth. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be what? Become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, But now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness and a desire to do it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by the equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. And it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Hallelujah.